Welcome to today's episode of The Forensic CFO, where we dive into the world of finance and business strategies. I'm your host, Steve Hovland, and today we're going to discuss the Rule of 40, a very powerful metric used for evaluating the health of a software as service company or SaaS company. Stay tuned. So what is the Rule of 40? Well, it's a financial metric, and honestly, it's used to evaluate the health of a SaaS company. The metric, in its most simplistic calculation, states that EBITDA margin, when combined with growth rate, should be greater than or equal to 40%. In other words, if you take your EBITDA margin percentage plus your growth rate percentage, it should equal at least 40, or if you want to be absolute, 40%. So let's walk through kind of a quick example so we can kind of walk through and understand how this Rule of 40 really works. So let's say we have a fictitious SaaS company and we'll call it XYZ Solutions. Now, XYZ Solutions has a 20% EBITDA margin and a growth rate of 20%. This means that XYZ Solutions meets the Rule of 40 as you take that EBITDA margin of 20% plus the growth rate margin of 20%, you get the 40 or 40%. So now that we know kind of how the overall rule quote works, just the formula part, let's break down the two components. First, EBITDA margin and growth rate. So the first on EBITDA margin really is just a financial metric that measures a company's profitability. Now, it's calculated by dividing EBITDA, which, if you recall, stands for earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization. That's a mouthful. Another way to think about EBITDA, and this is kind of a side note, is a lot of times EBITDA is almost the cash profit from a company. It's not exactly, but it does pull out a lot of the non-cash stuff that, if you look at a statement of cash flow, always gets pulled out anyways. So it's a way to think about it. It's not exactly the cash from operations off the statement of cash flows, but it's pretty close. So that's another way to think about EBITDA. So for EBITDA margin, we take the EBITDA and we divide it by the company's total revenue. And this essentially represents the percentage of the company's total revenue that is left after subtracting out operating expenses and taking out depreciation, amortization, so on and so forth. A higher EBITDA margin indicates better profitability, as it shows that a company really is generating more profit from its revenue after accounting for all its operating expenses. And this is often used as a key performance indicator or a KPI for businesses, and especially in the SaaS industry, as this provides a clear understanding of the company's operational efficiencies and profitabilities. Now, the other aspect to the rule, the growth rate. Growth rate is annual, and this annual growth rate is usually measured by comparing the company's revenue or market capitalizations after 1 year to the next. It can also be based on other metrics, and this is important, such as customers or subscribers, depending on what the focus and goal of the company is. So recall, the rule is EBITDA margin plus growth rate. It doesn't say EBITDA margin plus revenue change. So that's important to know, is revenue is usually the main factor that people use, but you can also use other factors. You just need to know what your growth rate is and what your overall company goal is. So on the growth rate, as you can surmise, you first need to figure out what time period you want to use. And as I mentioned, you want to try to do annual. You can do less than annual, but you have to do some algebraic gymnastics to make it work properly. So I always recommend to my clients, just do annual. It'll make your life a lot easier. And it doesn't have to be January through December. You can pick, say, February through January if you really wanted to, as long as you have the 12 months in there. So to do the calculation, again, you find out what the starting value is, less the ending value, divide back into the starting value to find out what your percent change is for your growth rate. So let's take it back to our XYZ Solutions. And let's assume that we're going to calculate the growth rate for the 2021 fiscal year. And our starting and ending values of XYZ Solutions for the revenue is $10 million revenue at the start of the fiscal year and $12 million revenue at the end of the fiscal year. And as we go through and do the calculation, obviously we're going to take $12 million minus $10 million and divide it back by the $10 million, which is, again, that's the starting revenue number, and we ultimately come up with a growth rate of 20%. And so in this example, XYZ Solutions had a 20% annual growth rate to its revenue during the 2021 fiscal year. Now, this growth rate combined with its 20% EBITDA margin, again, demonstrates that the company meets the Rule of 40. And again, this is key. This indicates that they have a healthy balance between growth and profitability. Now, again, like I said, the growth rate can be applied to subscriber growth in addition to revenue. The Rule of 40, like I said, just states that a company's growth rate plus its profitability should equal 40. Now, this rule is commonly used to evaluate technology companies, but it can be applied to really any business that seeks balance between growth and profitability. For example, a textile manufacturing company, you know, if they're making various binds and weaves for their respective products, if they say, you know, they had a 40% increase in revenue but zero change in their EBITDA or zero EBITDA, well, yeah, they got a huge revenue, but they don't really have much EBITDA, so they don't really have much balance there. And so that's why you want to look at that. Yes, you may be equaling the Rule of 40 in total, but you want to have balance in there so that you know you have the ability to grow and have profitability. So back to our example here, you know, in the context of subscriber growth, the Rule of 40 really can help a company determine if its growth is sustainable and is achieving this desired balance between acquiring new customers and maintaining profitability. By focusing on both subscriber growth and profitability, a company can ensure that it really is on the path to long-term success. Now, a company that focuses on subscriber growth count instead of revenue in their calculation of the Rule of 40 typically would be a subscription-based or digital service company. These companies often obviously prioritize customer acquisition and retention as their key metrics of success, you know, as they rely on a steady stream of recurring revenue from their subscribers to drive their growth. You know, examples of companies that would be more focused on subscriber growth versus revenue growth, obviously a startup. You know, startups, you know, especially in the technology sector, may focus more on subscriber growth than revenue growth in the early stages, as you know, as you can surmise, you know, they're still establishing their brand, building their customer loyalty, attracting new users, etc., etc. Another example, digital companies, you know, online news outlets, streaming services, so on and so forth, you know, they really rely on subscriber growth to generate the revenue. Cloud storage companies and project management tools, obviously same thing, they're trying to build up that subscriber count. And then of course gaming companies, especially if they're offering online multiplayer games or subscription-based services, they may prioritize subscriber growth to ensure a constant user base to generate consistent revenue. Now, these are just examples, again, startup, digital media, management tools, gaming, of companies that prioritize their subscriber growth over revenue growth when calculating their Rule of 40. Now, the choice of focusing on subscriber growth instead of revenue growth really depends on the specific business model and the goals of the company. So how does the Rule of 40 help you evaluate the health of your company? Well, let's go back into our little sample company of XYZ Solutions. The health of XYZ Solutions can be demonstrated really in several ways. Profitability. You know, as you recall, they had a 20% EBITDA margin. You know, this is, again, indicating that they're generating profits after accounting for expenses, and they have the company is financially healthy and has a strong foundation for growth. Now, on the growth side, recall when we did the calculation of the $10 million from the beginning year, the $12 million end of the year, you know, they're showing a growth rate of 20%, which in this case happens to be in line with the EBITDA margin. Now, it doesn't always have to be equal one another, but in our solution, our example, it actually equals. This 20%, you know, growth really suggests the company is expanding its customer base and generating additional revenue while again maintaining a healthy profit margin. And of course, when you look at those two together, you have balance. You know, XYZ solutions meet in the rule of 40, and they're demonstrating that they have a balance between their growth and their profitability. You know, this balance really is essential for long-term success. And, you know, as it's going to ensure that a company is not overly reliant on one factor or the other, either high growth or high profitability for its health. Again, by meeting the rule of 40, XYZ Solutions, you know, is really demonstrating that they're a healthy and well-managed SaaS company. You know, and this can be attractive to investors and potential customers, you know, as it indicates that the company has a strong foundation for growth and is focused on maintaining balance between expansion and profitability. Now, what are some examples of successful SaaS companies that have actually followed the rule of 40? Well, the first one, Salesforce. You know, obviously, you know, if you're not familiar, they're a cloud-based customer relationship management platform. You know, they have consistently maintained a high growth rate and positive EBITDA, obviously resulting in a strong rule of 40 score. Shopify, again, they have experienced rapid growth and maintain a healthy EBITDA, again, resulting in a very strong rule of 40. Zoom, you know, obviously came about and had huge growth during the COVID-19, and they've managed to maintain, you know, a positive EBITDA margin despite the high growth rates, you know, leading, again, to a strong rule of 40 score. And, of course, HubSpot, you know, they have a strong focus on growth and profitability. Again, they hit that target or they're constantly hitting that target. So what can you do? How do you do this? So to implement the rule of 40, if you haven't gone through the calculation, first you want to analyze your company's current financial metrics. How close really are you to the rule of 40? You know, and what changes can be made if, you know, you're below it? You know, do you need to focus on subscriber growth? Do you reduce operating expenses to increase the EBITDA, etc.? Number two, set realistic targets for growth and profitability. You know, as you're implementing this rule of 40, let's say hypothetically, you do the calculation and for whatever reason, let's say you're at 30 and you want to get up to the 40. Well, you know, you probably could set your targets and be able to get there fairly quickly. But now let's assume you're at 15. Setting a realistic growth and profitability target's going to take longer. So don't just immediately say, hey, we're at 15, we just need to increase our growth because let's just say growth is zero and EBITDA's 15. Well, is it reasonable that you can increase growth so fast to be able to jump up there? Probably not overnight. And so make sure you're setting realistic growth and profitability. So that profitability is one area that you could, you know, theoretically adjust, you know, with your financial levers. You could say, well, we don't need all these operating expenses, so thus it's going to increase our EBITDA margin percent. Well, if you reduce those expenses, can you still function? Can you still provide customer service? You know, those are the key things to think about. And third thing, for implementing the rule of 40, you know, develop a strategy, you know, to achieve the targets. You know, obviously you're going to set realistic targets for growth and profitability, but you really have to have a strategy in there. And remember, strategies are usually more than just 1 year. And I usually equate strategies to the budget and forecast cycle. So for your financials right now, you probably did have a budget. You probably did it, you know, 2 to 3 months before the start of the fiscal year. So if you're a calendar year, you probably did it in October-ish, maybe November. And you're using that to manage the next fiscal year. And the forecast is built off of the budget. So budget says this is where we want to be at the end of the fiscal year. Forecast is what you use to manage to get to that point. Well, your budget really should be based off of your strategy. And your strategy should be at least 3 years ahead. So where you want to be in 3 years, let's say you want to triple your revenue in 3 years. Well, each year you need to have a budget that allows you to eventually get to that point. Same thing with this rule of 40. When you're setting your targets for growth and profitability, you have to develop a strategy that is really more than just 1 year forward. And finally, when you're implementing the rule 40, please make sure your company CFO is heavily involved in the process. unless you're making accounting software, my gut is there aren't as many accountants on staff within your company. So make sure your company CFO, whether it's in-house or virtually, make sure they're heavily involved in the process, because they're going to understand a lot of the different nuances within there that are really feasible. Again, that goes back to realistic targets. They're going to understand what can realistically be met, you know, from a financial standpoint. As we wrap up our discussion on the Rule of 40, it's essential to remember that this metric is not necessarily a one-size-fits-all solution for evaluating SaaS companies. It's really a guideline, and it's there to help companies and investors assess growth and profitability. However, it's crucial to consider other factors such as market condition, competition, and, you know, your overall strategy on your investment decisions. Now, keep in mind, the Rule of 40 is a very valuable tool for SaaS companies. By aiming to combine your growth rate and your profit margin of 40%, SaaS companies can focus on achieving the balance and growth that they need. I want to thank you for joining us today on today's episode of The Forensic CFO. And don't forget, tune in next week for more discussions on finance and business strategies. Until then, take care and see you soon.